opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, wonderful people, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who have supported me through this journey. Those who have left us will always be in our hearts and will never be forgotten. Today's topic is the ultimate career hacks. I am super honored and flattered and excited to have as my guest today, Marilyn Witte. Marilyn, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. How are things with you? What's going on in your world? What's new? Give me the tea, the deets, give us it all. What's going on?
Well, things are good and things are great. So I work in the an environment called career wellness, which I'm going to get to speak all about, I'm sure, in the next few minutes. But it's been increasingly being at the forefront, and I can't wait to talk about it some more. And things have been good. The weather is good. Everything's looking up now.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that things are going well. It's always good when things are going well, right? So we always have to shoot for that. So before we begin, I always have a fun, thought-provoking question to ask my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours today, Marilyn?
Ready as I'll ever be. Let's go. I don't know if I should be scared.
So your question is, that what is one lesson you have learned that you will never forget?
Wow. That's a good one. That wellness is everything. That it doesn't matter how much you can love your career, your job, how dedicated you are. If you don't take care of your health and your wellness, then none of it matters at the end of the day. So taking care of myself, yeah, that was a huge revelation. A few years back, I had a huge kind of aha moment, and I transformed my life with refocusing my priorities and my value and focusing on the value of wellness and well-being.
It's amazing when those aha moments come and you just realize, okay, I was avoiding this, or you might have been hearing it or feeling it for a while, but just that one instance that triggered it you think, okay, I need to make a change.
Yeah. Well, it's out of fear, right? So my aha moment happened. Sorry, I don't want to take too much time on this, but it was in a hospital waiting for an MRI because I was dealing with excruciating pain and migraines, like chronic. And also leading up to that, you have to get into these machines, you have to get into garments, and I was a bigger size, not feeling well, and I kind of broke down, and I'm like, this is not what healthy is like. Kind of realizing too is like, when I started looking into my health, was because my headaches and my health issues were getting in the way of my job and being able to put in the hours and being able to show up the way I wanted to. But then I realized is going about the way I was with my career is what was making me sick and really in a lot of pain. So I had to make a change, and it was out of fear. I was very, very scared in that moment. And thankfully it was not as bad as it could have been. But right. I made the changes I needed to make.
Well, that is a good segue. So we're going to get into the meat and bones that we're going to find a little bit more about you. What I would love for you to do is to tell us a little bit about yourself, and you kind of said a little bit about your why, but I'd like to kind of dig deep a little bit more into that. So let's talk about your why as well.
Yeah. So I'm an HR professional. So I've been working in HR for over 20 years. And I got into leadership roles, I want to say 8 to 10 years ago now. My career was a huge part of who I was. You know, if you asked me like, hi, I'm Marilyn, I'm an HR professional, just like I did just right now. But the thing is it's a lot more. You know, I'm somebody who enjoys travel. I have a family that I adore, enjoy life in sports and things like that. And about the bit that I shared, so a few years ago when I went through kind of that ha-ha moment and then put in the work, I lost 90 pounds in 10 months. In that moment at the hospital, I realized, and I put the word obese to my weight for the first time ever, kind of stopped ignoring it. And then to put in the work, put in the efforts that are required to deal with the chronic pain. So fortunately, my migraines were from muscular issues because of my posture and the way I handle stress. So it really affects my neck and my shoulders. But that was curable. And I did a lot of physio and a lot of strength training, which I still keep up. So that's a little bit of my background. And when I started talking about it, it took a long time. So I kept it to myself for many, many months. I had a lot of shame of having let myself gone to the place where I was. honestly, if anybody takes anything away from today, there is no shame. Everybody's struggling and health mm-hmm. and wellness is hard, especially with a career. Why I do this is because as soon as I started talking, I realized how many people were struggling mm-hmm. to really, and especially that I was aspiring to be like, and like role models and mentors of mine. And they were like, how did you do it? I've been trying for years, or what's your secrets, what's your tips and things like that. So I realized by speaking up and talking about my experiences and what I had learned, that I could have an impact and I could help people. My why is really fighting this underlying unwritten rule that in order to advance your career, you must sacrifice your health, that you must sacrifice what's near and dear to your wellness. And I'm talking about broader wellness too, you know, your social interactions, your physical health, your mental health, your everything, you know? And it has to be a better way. And in HR, I've worked with hundreds of leaders throughout the years, and their jobs are very difficult. The expectations are high. But the thing is what makes our organization is all these wonderful leaders and the people that work with in it. So I feel like by talking, by educating, because I've been really getting into a lot of coaching education and all that, you know, neuroscience and physical health and mental health, a whole, like all the spectrum, and then career as a broad term. So by showing up and talking about things, giving tips and offering support, I'm hoping to have an impact in helping organizational wellness as a whole. Because organizational wellness really starts with healthy leaders.
And it's amazing to think sometimes we just never know what others are going through, right? So kudos to you for doing what you're doing and losing that weight. That is amazing. And I'm sure it is a big difference in your not just your lifestyle, but your thinking and your way of life and how you feel and your energy and everything. I'm sure everything is better for you for now. But yeah, like I said, we just never know what people are dealing with and going through. So when we do talk about it, then we realize, oh my God, we're not the only one. Yeah. There's others that are going through that too. So
yeah,
your story is truly inspiring. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you're saying like losing the weight. It's all about feeling good. It's not just about, mm-hmm. you know, the way you look or whatever. It's really all of the work that I do. Like I want people to have a career that feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So that feels good, that drives you, that fulfills you on many levels, but that feels good. So that means also physically and with your health. And it's important. And the word energy, because you've said having more energy, absolutely. But I didn't understand what energy was until I felt it. Like I didn't realize how tired I was. I didn't understand how much pain I was under until I started feeling better. So yeah, that's what I want for everybody. I don't want people to have health scares or actually go through, and usually that's what drives it. I feel like there's a better way to live. It doesn't have to be this hard. It can be, you can totally go through life having a very successful career and be healthy as well.
For sure. So today we're talking about career hacks.
Yes.
What are examples of career hacks?
Yeah. So there's no, there's not going to be a like huge surprise here what I'm going to be bringing up. So obviously, a lot of it is wellness, is taking care of yourself is like the first thing. The biggest hack, which is, it's very cheap, it's very easy. It's walking, it's moving your body. The benefits to your mind and body, to taking walks, to taking a pause. It's therapeutic in the way that it's, you can meditate while you walk without even being a person that meditates. I've struggled trying to meditate because like to tune things out. But the only way I've been able to is through a walk in nature. It helps with weight loss. It helps with mobility. It helps with everything. And if you have problems to solve at work, which most leaders, most HR professionals do, that's what you do day in and day out. You're not going to find the solution looking at your screen for many, many hours or talking about it and being stuck. You're going to find it by moving your body. You're going to get the inspiration. You're going to get the answers. So our career hack is that it's a time saver to do physical activity and exercise. We always say we don't have time for exercise, but you don't have time not to put it in because it will give you time. It will give you your superpowers of innovation and creativity. It will help you find your solutions much faster and you will feel good while doing it. So that is my career hack number one. And like I said, it's easy. It's accessible to everybody. It's low impact and very underrated for the type of exercise that it is, because there's no downside to walking.
Mm. Especially the weather that it is now, it does so much good to you to go out. Like, I know when I go for a walk and I come back, like, you just feel so good. And I'm not someone that usually struggles to fall asleep, but I usually, when I do go for a walk, I usually like am out, like, once totally. My head is a pillow, I am totally out like a light.
Yeah, and I totally didn't do justice to walking. Like the benefits of are endless, and sleeping is huge. Like, mm-hmm. physical activity directly impacts your sleep. So there's basic mm-hmm. needs that we have to be healthy. It's that bottom of the pyramid of the Maslow of hierarchy of needs. You have to mm-hmm. Eat, so fuel your body. You've got to move, and then you got to sleep and breathe. Pretty basic. Mm-hmm. But those mm-hmm. are the things that are the hardest for people I work with, and probably a lot of people that are listening. The first thing that goes when you're busy or stressed is you're not going to eat well, or you're going to be mindful about your food intake, or you're not going to eat at all, and then you're going to be depleted. So you're missing fuel. You're not going to sleep enough or well, right. and you're not going to move. And then the breathing is silly, but there's ways to breathe to really reset your weighing and kind of your nervous system. So deep breaths and all that will do wonders as well. So that could be embedded in the hack, but we can give another one.
I know you kind of delved into a little bit, but I kind of want to go into this a little bit further here. Why is it important to understand career?
Why it's important to understand career hacks? Well, I'll answer that question with another career hack that I was just about to get into, but it's intertwined. It's to understand yourself and to invest in your self-awareness, personal development. You may think you're self-aware, but the more you know is the more you know that you have more to discover. And because if you really understand what drives you, and I do a lot of work around motivation, I do this, use this tool called Motivational Maps, and it's fantastic. What it kind of helps you see is what really drives you, what motivates you, what fuels you into action. Because very like ambitious professionals, they don't lack drive. They can do hard work, long hours, and not at feeling work. But if it's really aligned with what they are motivated, whether it's purpose driven, whether it's like expertise, whatever fuels their motivation, whether it's helping people and collaborating with others. There's so many. There's 9 different motivators under the map. But by being self-aware, then you can actually figure out what your career path should be, not has to be because of a preconceived notion or some plans that you had when you started your career. You know, you wanted to go up the ladder, but maybe that doesn't feel aligned with you anymore. Maybe that doesn't feel good mm-hmm. anymore. And why mm-hmm. and all that. So understanding what motivates you, drives you, fuels you, what you need to be fully happy at work and at home. Well, and I say happy, you know, you can't be happy 24/7, but what really motivates you to actually get into action is going to be your biggest ally in terms of figuring out, like in terms of your career hack. So true career success is people that love what they do and they feel good mm-hmm. at what they do because it's aligned with them. And on the flip side of that is figuring out what it's not for you. So when you're collaborating with others, you can actually figure out what others are driven by. And hopefully you've got a team that can complement each other and not feeling guilty or shame of letting others handle things that may take you longer or more energy to do. Sometimes it's the small things that will require you a lot of energy. It could be filling out a form that takes you a long time, a lot of energy, and someone else will whip it out in 5 minutes. So anyways, mm-hmm. all that to say is a career, like why it's important to understand these career hacks is because it helps you have a career that's aligned with you and that will feel good and will allow you to be fulfilled within your career.
It's interesting you're talking about that because I've had so many conversations with a lot of people, and one thing that kind of draws out or from these conversations is that a lot of these people started their studies, they went to school, did all this stuff, thought, okay, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and everything is going to follow after that. And then they get into it, and then a couple of years, they feel like, okay, well, this is what I'm doing now, I'll move up. But they just never seem to be like happy with what they're doing. So then they just decide, well, I'm going to do that. And years ago, that's what you did is that you went to school, you studied and you did what you studied as a profession, even though you didn't like it but you did it anyways. Now I find people are speaking up more and saying, hey, I'm just not happy. I don't know what it is, but I just don't have the passion for this. It's not enjoyable. I'm not enjoying coming to work every day. So I'm sure you're seeing a lot of this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And those come with a lot of, self-doubt and it shakes somebody's confidence because you know that they had a plan, right? Their vision. And sometimes you look up to others that are in certain roles and you're like, oh, this is where I want to be. Like if you're taking the leadership path or if you're taking the specialist path. And often these people will either be afraid, like they don't know, so they'll be afraid of making a change, or they'll make a change and then they're still unhappy. And that's why I'm saying like understanding your motivators, understanding and embracing what you're strong at, understanding and looking at yourself with looking at everything with self-compassion and then saying, okay, like this all, and it all, there's no better feeling like, now I understand why these kinds of things or why that job was difficult. And then you can actually make decisions that are aligned with what's going to feel good in terms of a career and removing that pressure to make changes blindly, because it is, it's costly and it's hard on yourself. Changing jobs, changing careers is huge, but some people will get to the point where they're like, okay, I'm going to completely change careers. And without that self-awareness, sometimes it's kind of like shitting in the dark. So the support that you can get from this like insight within your personal development is priceless, honestly. And the coaching I receive was like the main key. It really was the key to my success in terms of weight loss, in terms of career, in terms of development. Because I've thought about it many times. Why was this time different? Yes, I was scared, but I also had confidence and had discovered things about myself that I didn't before. And I knew I was capable of doing this. And I had that underlying belief. So it's the same with the career. When you know you're on the right path, it makes all the difference.
So it's a good segue to what I wanted to ask you next was, do you think that leaders understand the significance of the term career hack?
I don't think leaders often look for hacks, and they're not, well, I mean, I'm speaking broadly, right? So they're not looking for the easy way, because they're used to putting in the work. They're used to putting the time and effort, and they're used to things being challenging. And where I come in and I say things don't have to be this hard. No, I don't think. And just like the term career wellness that I've embraced, I don't think leaders understand the power of it. So, I mean, career wellness is a career hack. If your career wellness is about integrating wellness and career, and I'm not talking about work-life balance, because that seems to be like an unattainable standard. So I'm really talking about harmonizing wellness. No, leaders, I don't believe that really truly understand, because they don't know that it's possible. And that's why I do the work that I do, to kind of show that it is possible and it doesn't have to be this hard, and that they could feel good and have great careers and still have it feel good. It's kind of sad. And I've had the opportunity in the past few years to kind of see different work environments, and it's everywhere. Government, private, public, big employers, small employers. It's everywhere. It's hard. I truly believe that there's no harder job than being a leader in an organization. It's a lot of pressures. It's a lot of demands.
So you mentioned that it was challenging our leaders. Do you think that they're getting confused, because there's a lot of leaders today that I'm seeing who were individual contributors, and now they become leaders, and now they think it's challenging, but they actually haven't really gotten the proper tools or the proper training in order to be successful at that role. So they're finding it challenging when it actually really isn't that challenging, like you're saying.
Well, that's a big question we could spend an hour on. So the thing is when you become a leader, it's like you said, you're either a subject matter expert that grew your career. You were used to being an expert at what you do. And then you're promoted, or you were a manager in a different area somewhere else, and then you're given a different portfolio, but it's kind of a stretch assignment. So either way, so let's say the case that you're talking about. So there's not really like, there's no how-to guide to become a great leader, because great leaders come in all kinds of variation because, you know, we're a diverse workforce, we're diverse people, we all have different ideas. And what sometimes, like often what happens is somebody will be promoted in a role, it's rare that expectations are really clear for a leader. So it's not the same as a frontline position that says, okay, well, this is what your deliverables are. A manager, a director has to help their supervisor, so whether a director or whatnot, attain their strategic objective. They need to make sure that operationally their team are delivering. And then often they have work on their own, like reporting and ensuring a whole lot of things. So there's a lot of balls in the air and they kind of just look to either their direct supervisor or their colleagues for like to see what it's supposed to be. But realistically, it should be about that leader's strength. So if they're really an expert in their field, how does that translate to them becoming a people leader? How do you support others? How do you, and for me, for example, that was the easy part. Like for me to support a team, I've always loved having a team and that came naturally. But then all of the kind of the more the nuances of navigating the politics and the collaborative within the organization and not stepping on toes, like all this had to be learned by trial and error. There's so much. When you're an expert and you're really good and then you're promoted and then you feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, there's not that many leaders that are feeling like they're really awesome at their job, even though a lot of them are. So I'd say it's a hard thing. And I think it all comes down with from the top, there needs to be clear expectation. There needs to be a lot of openness for errors and a lot of tolerance for it. And a lot of kind of like coaching and supportive kind of, it's okay for you to figure it out. It's okay because typically new leaders will either be kind of gung-ho to change the world or very scared of making any kind of decisions. So it's very, it's a hard transition going from basically an expert or a professional to leadership.
And you hit the nail right on the target there. I feel like leaders continuously grow. So I think if you say that you would hope, right? And that's the mindset. That's my mindset. And I'm hoping that it's a lot of leaders' mindset that you're continuously growing and you're continuously learning. The minute that you say that you know everything, I think that's when problems start to develop because it could be something new that you didn't even know about it. And it's continuously going.
Yeah.
Tremendous like that. Like you said, there's so many different balls in the air. And on Monday, you could have like 8 this week. And then Monday, there's another 5 that are added to you. And so you just have to be able to adapt and grow. So like I said, if you're not growing or not wanting to grow or don't think that you need to grow, then to me, there's an issue.
Yeah, for sure. And again, that comes back to self-awareness, right? Like it's understanding that we all have room to grow, but where's your bigger like area of focus for you to have a bigger impact? Yeah. It comes back to the self-awareness and often people are a lot better than they think at certain things. And that's also very good in terms of that self-development, like that self-reflection and support that can be offered.
How do you think that career hacks relate to diversity?
Yeah. So wellness. So diversity is directly related to wellness. So you cannot have a healthy workplace if diversity is not embraced. So diversity means being inclusive and welcoming and that people feel like they belong and they feel like they can come in, do their best work, be a human in the process, go through the ups and downs of having challenges at home and whatever, and still not be reprimanded for it. So there's a lot to speak about psychological health and safety that is fully intertwined with diversity. And when I talk about diversity, yes, there's the typical that we're used to talking about, but there's diversity in, yeah, there's culture, there's disabilities and all that, but there's also neurodiversity. So people have different thought pattern, different ways of cognitively processing information. There's diversity in ways of just personalities of people, how they show up, if they're more introverted, extroverted. There's diversity everywhere. So in terms of, because of the hacks that I've mentioned is very much, you know, it's career wellness is your hack is wellness, is embracing that being well will make you thrive in your career. So wellness is, if you're not embracing diversity for yourself, like, you know, for your colleagues and being open-minded that we're all different and we all bring something to the table and all of our voices are worth listening to. And also thinking about ways that we're putting barriers to diversity when we're putting in HR programming or we're communicating with people, checking yourselves for unconscious biases constantly. So as much as, you know, we talked about growth earlier, we also have to understand that we're human, we're filled with these embedded judgments and biases. It doesn't make us a bad person. That's how we were raised, what we were brought up and things that we've seen, things we've consumed in the media and whatever that form this part of our brain that is kind of on alert and also makes quick judgment for the reasons of just being built that way. So we also always have to check ourselves when we're working with others. So diversity and inclusion, extremely related to wellness, cannot be you can't say that you embrace and that wellness is your main priority if you're not embracing diversity. Diversity is core to everything. And I think it makes life more interesting if we were all the same, all the same thoughts, wearing the same things. I mean, we have to embrace it instead of being scared by it or just kind of like negatively responding to it. So yeah, using curiosity and leaning into it is what I recommend in that sense.
I'm smiling the whole time you're talking there because you're talking about welcoming and being human and embracing. That's what I would call a self-safe work environment.
Yeah.
So an environment that we would go to work and we'd feel safe throughout the whole day, or we're not in a panic attack because we have to go to work on a particular day and yeah. we're not wanting to go there. So everything that you said there to me is all of that all in one. One big round bubble.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, there's so many layers that we could peel off in terms of diversity and inclusion as well as wellness. I mean, it's so broad and so, so important in the workplace, in the community, in our lives. And we also have to like, and the point that I already made, but we also have to understand that there's a part like in our brains that we actually are wired to say, to try and connect with individuals. So we are social beings. We need community. And when we meet other people, our brain is like, how can I connect with that person? What is similar? Or how are we the same? So naturally we're looking for people like us. And you know, for my colleagues out there in HR that are doing recruitment and all that, we have to check ourselves into, because are we really just looking for people like us that think like us, that are like us? Because that doesn't promote diversity. But that is human nature. That's how we're wired to try and connect with people. We want connection. So, but the thing is like we can find connection with basically anybody because of the fundamentally we're human and we've had human experiences. But it's important to understand that, like understand that shows up. And even though your kind of first reaction is to kind of lean into the people that are more similar to you, but that curiosity that I said earlier is really important to say, oh, why do I, you know, what is it that is kind of making me less prone to approaching a certain person or anything like that? And that's exactly why you need to lean into it, because they probably have a lot more to bring to you, your team, your work, because they're different. So self-awareness, again, and understanding that you're human and don't judge yourself for being this way. You were programmed that way. It's just, you know, we're not computers. I say program, but I mean we're kind of a complex system. But that foundational, we look for people similar to us.
Mm. In closing, Marilyn, what is one takeaway you'd want our listeners to get from this episode?
One takeaway. So the takeaway is that you know, wellness is foundational. It's not. You'll never be as good of a leader or as an HR professional or as a professional as you will be if you take your wellness seriously. So taking care of yourself will make you the best you can be in your career. And it's an investment in your time, energy, money. It costs money to sometimes invest in your health. It's money well spent because it's either now or later, believe me. That is going to pay in dividends. You know, think about your life after your job or whatnot. You know, you want a long, healthy life. I think we go about our day just thinking about today, tomorrow, our career. There's a whole other life after work where if you take a pause from your job and things like that, you are not your job. You're not your career, and your health is everything. And finding a way to live in harmony with your career, with your health and your wellness is key to everything. So it's more than a hack. It's a must to be able to live long and healthy and feel good.
If you don't have your health, there's a lot that you can't do. So in especially with your mind and your everything, you just need it in order to to function and do everyday activities for sure.
Yeah, and like it's easy to push ourselves to the limit and forget about that and then create mental exhaustion. You know, it's not worth it when you're seeing yourself kind of getting to the brink. You know, just pushing through is not often the right answer.
Mm-hmm. My call to action would be for everyone to like, share, and follow this episode and every other episode of Let's Be Diverse podcast. I want to take the time to thank you for coming on today, Marilyn. I admire your generosity and your kindness and your adaptability. Like, you just adapt so well to every situation, and you're just such a good human. That's something I realized from day one when we first met, and I continue to learn more and more about you, and you just care about people, and that is very commendable thing or a personality trait that I would wish that everyone in the world would have today.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you.
You're very welcome. On behalf of myself and my guest, Marilyn, let's take the time to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, be safe, everyone. And remember that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.